Job chapter number 2 this morning. Job chapter 2. You talk about a guy had it rough. Old Job had it rough about 2,000 years before Christ. And he didn't know what was going on either. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We don't know what's going on. In Job chapter 2, I want to read beginning at verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And listen to this. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." You know what? He hadn't changed his tactic. He's still doing the same thing. We're told that in the New Testament. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Satan trying to get God to do that. Ain't he a sneaky rascal? And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And it took him a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lips." Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a man like Job that long, long, long ago had a real faith in God and lived for the Lord. Lord, help us to realize that in all Job's suffering, he never railed against the Lord, but he just kept living for the Lord. Help us to learn that truth, Lord, that no matter what you send in our way, that we'll just keep serving the Lord. Help me as I stand here today, Lord. I'm helpless. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. What can we learn from Job? Let's think about that a little while together today. In the life of Job, we see that there is activity going on against believers we do not know about. You and I just don't know what God has planned for all of us. You don't know what God's going to allow for you for tomorrow or the rest of the day. By the way, there's storms coming tonight. We see the enemy of God and man, and God uses to test you and me for faithfulness. God uses Satan to test us to see how we're going to react. That's what he did with Job. And Job was not forewarned about it, and neither will you and I be forewarned. That's the reason we're told in the Bible we live by faith. We live trusting the Lord. Amen? The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 6:12. In the unseen world, there's demonic forces that's at war against us, opposing us. In 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You are a saved person, you are a soldier of the Lord. And a soldier has to always stay ready for battle, because we may be attacked any time by Satan. So we got to be on guard. Read our Bibles. Pray. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to the Lord. You got to always be on ready. And those of us that was in the Army, we know all about that, because at a minute's notice, you're subject to be called out. There are two powers that wage war for your soul. Two powers. We learn from the book of Job that God does not have to answer to anyone for what he does or does not do. God does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, where he wants to. Nobody can do anything about it because he's God. But he's a good God. Amen. He's a good God, and he's for us. God is never against us if we're his people. Now, he might have to deal with us harshly when we wiggle out of the way, amen? But he's actually for us. Job's experience teaches us that we may never know the sufficient reason for suffering, I'll get it out, but we must trust in our sovereign, holy, righteous, loving God, whatever he allows into our life, because he's an all-wise God who loves all of us as his people. The Bible says his ways are perfect in Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. God never makes a mistake. I don't intend to make a mistake. But see, I can't even say it without making one. That proved my point. I didn't do that intentionally now, by the way. That really happened, which is not uncommon. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for putting up with us. In this life, we see throughout the Bible, bad things happen to good people. Good people in the context of how people are. Amen? Bad things happen to God's people all the time, just like they did to Job. But Job didn't know that God was having a conversation in heaven with Satan about testing Job. Satan thought that he could cause Job to curse God, quit serving God. And you know, I've been in church all my life, and I've seen many people profess Christ, and they start out like a ball of fire for the Lord, but it's not long they fizzled out, and you never see them again. That's bad, isn't it? But Job weren't that kind of a person. We shouldn't be that kind of a person, no matter how hard it gets. Our hardships should draw us to the Lord, right? Our hardships should make me realize how little I am, how helpless I am, and how much I need God. And our hardships are also designed to help us examine ourselves. What is it I'm doing that maybe I need to correct that would cause these problems to cease? Amen? Job's suffering did not come because he was bad, but because God was testing him. God was testing him to see if he could use him. And if God's going to use you, he's going to test you to see if you be faithful. God will ultimately reward good for evil. And I think about from time to time Satan and all this he's doing against God's people and against mankind. And the more he does against people and hurts people, the worse his suffering's going to be. He's a stupid feller, ain't he? He's just bringing more wrath. The lake of fire was made for him. He'll be in the worst part of it, squealing and squalling. Life can seem so unfair. I see some people, they just cruise along in life. Everything just going fine. Other people, it's one problem after another. Well, our lesson today in the Word of God should kind of help us a little bit with that. That God is in control of everybody's life, no matter whose it is. And God does know what He's doing. God does know what He's doing. I suppose sometime God sees it and knows a person. He knows that person, that they're never going to trust Him, so He'll just let them have a good life here. Because He knew they would never trust Him. Because God knows everything. And since He's a good God, then He can bless them here, and then they can, you know, they can't have any excuse. We must remember this world is not our home. We're only passing through this world. You know what? Some of us have about passed through, amen? And as Faye was mentioning a while ago, right in front of our house, there's three houses right there at our house. And three people have died out of them in less than a year. One out of each house. Right there at our house. And all three of them was around 80 or better. So they passed through. There are those who make no effort to serve God in this world. Many are like that, I'm afraid. And yet they seem to be doing well. They make lots of money. Some of them have a well-known name. And they have a lot of wealth. Life's going good for them. But how long is it going to go good? Well, if they die without the Lord, it's going to be bad. The psalmist in Psalm 73, you ought to turn in your Bible and follow with me in Psalm 73, because this is one of my favorite psalms, because it talks about the psalmist, how troubled he was when he saw how the wicked people were prospering in this world and how hard life was for him. That's the reason I like this psalm. And I want to start reading it, verse 2 in Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The wicked were having it good. And the psalmist couldn't understand that. I'm living for God and I can't hardly make it. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. But they're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. There are others who are genuinely trying, but they are experiencing many difficulties and setbacks in life. And this had the psalmist confused and troubled him. Let me say this about our thoughts today. First of all, God knows about our trials. He knows all about what you're facing every day. God was very much aware of Job and of his wholehearted obedience to him. God said to Satan, "Hey, have you noticed my servant Job? What a upright man he is." And Satan said, "Yeah, he's serving you because of what you give him." That was a slur, weren't it? But Job wasn't serving God for what he was getting from God. Job was serving God because God is God. And that's why we all should serve God. God is God and there's no other God, folks. He's our maker, our creator. We ought to serve him. He made us for himself. He made us so he could bless us. He made us. He wants to love us, and he does. And he also wants us to love him. He wants us to love him. In fact, God himself called Satan's attention to Job. In the first chapter of Job, we see where God allowed Satan to go and touch Job's life. Job lost all of his livestock, his flocks, some of his people, his servants were killed. Even Job's 10 children were killed. And still Job kept serving the Lord. Still kept serving the Lord. Christ commanded his disciples in Luke 12:6-7 that God, who even takes note of the sparrows and much more deeply interested in the affairs of his own children. I was sitting in my recliner, and we got a full-length window in front of me there, a double window. And I was sitting in my recliner the other day, this week, looking out the window, and there was robins out there, red birds out there, mockingbirds, sparrows, and blackbirds or sparlings or something. You know what? Every one of them was out there in the yard. God had breakfast for them. And they were just eating away. And I thought about how God feeds the birds. And if God prepares breakfast for the birds, what about us made in his image, folks? A bird is not made in the image of God, but I sure would have loved to have picked up them red birds and have petted them a little bit, you know? They're so pretty. They're beautiful. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. That's how much God knows about all of us. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. God does really care for us, folks. And God cared for Job. God wasn't letting Satan come against Job because God didn't care for Job. God was going to prove a point. that there are people that will live for God no matter what. And in our Sunday school lesson today, God was proving that point with Peter. Peter would one day, although he had denied him, one day Peter would go to a cross to die for the Lord. Number two, God limits our trials. God limits to how severe your trial is or my trial is. And you know something? You can take more than you think. You can take more than you think. I think one of the worst times of my life, when that doctor told me I had cancer, it felt like the inside of me just fell out, you know. I got cancer. Another time was when I started having heart attacks, because I've always been very active. But you know what? You just keep plodding along. You keep plodding along. But God limits our trials. How much is going to come on you? And when is going to come on you? When we read the book of Job, we learn that God allowed Satan to afflict Job. However, God set limits on what Satan could do. Praise God that God is God and he can limit the devil. Amen? Isn't that good? Man, that's good. He set limits because beyond which the devil could not pass. We know that there are limits to Job's trials, and we know what those limits were. But you know something? Listen to me. Job didn't know that. And when you have your problems and troubles, and we all have them to a certain point, you don't know what God's going to allow and how far he's going to allow it to go. You can be boasting good health today, and in 1 hour, you can be in bad shape or dead. Think about that busload of young teenagers the other day on their way to a hockey game. 16, 17, 18 years old. They were all in good health. They were playing sports. And in 1 minute, 15 of them was dead. It didn't take a minute for them to die, did it? Just a second. Life can change that quick. But we do not know what the limits of our trials are as we live day by day. I've had times in my life when it felt like the trials was coming faster than, you know, I could count. And I've heard my mama say, "What is going to happen next to you, son?" I've heard her say that. "What's going to happen to you next, son?" To begin with, God restricted Satan from harming Job's health to start with. But he allowed him even all of his herds to be stolen, his servants killed, and his 10 children killed. That's enough to kill you right there. But still, Job had his health. Later, God allowed Job to be personally stricken in chapter 2. But insisted that his life be spared. Satan, you can do what you want to, but you can't take his life. At that time, he was going through adversity. Job knew nothing of the conversation between God and Satan and the plot that was against him. And you and I, we don't know either, but it goes on. It goes on. He knew nothing of any limits God had pre-imposed upon his trial. No, Job was just facing life day by day. And this is what's happened to me. Everything's falling apart, and I can't do anything about it. And I'm trying to serve God, is what Job's situation was. And you can be in that same situation. trying to be faithful to God, and all of a sudden everything can just fall apart. But the question is, how are we going to react when it does? I've known of people that when tragedy happens in their life, it hurts them so much, they get out of church. They get mad at God. They get mad at God. They just don't understand the Word of God. Don't want to understand sometimes. Let's talk about something thirdly. We're to seek to grow in the Lord as God's people. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you start off as a baby in the Lord. But we are not to just remain babies. We come into this world as a baby, every one of us, a squalling and a bawling. But as the days, weeks, months went by, we began to grow, mature. We began to change. And we should, as Christians, not remain a baby Christian after we get saved. We need to be in church, every service, on time. Amen. Amen. Won't call no names. Be on time, every service, to grow in the Lord so we can be what God wants us to be. It's important. We're to seek to grow, not be on milk all the time. Babies don't stay on milk all the time. After a while, they want something a little bit stronger. This is perhaps one of the hardest lessons to keep in mind, that we're not to remain a baby. We're to grow up in the Lord. It says about Jesus that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up just like other people. He had to learn too. But he grew up in wisdom and knowledge. And as Christians, it's our duty to learn and grow, mature, become spiritual people. Job wanted God to vindicate him in the eyes of his friends. His friends came to see him when they heard about his condition, and he was in such a pitiful state, they didn't say a word for a whole week. They just sat there in silence. Job was in such a misery. And then when they began to talk, they began to criticize the poor feller. They began to accuse him of certain sins, secret sins. That was why he was in such a trouble and in such despair. They were wrongly judging him. Just because you're going through hardships and troubles and trials, don't mean there's some certain sin that's caused it. Not all the time. It may be that God is testing you with a trial to see your reaction, to prove you. It's not that God don't know, but God is showing you and me what we are. Will we be faithful? Will we find ourselves a faithful person? God already knows what we're going to do. But he's proving us to ourselves, just like he did with Peter in our lesson today. Peter had said, I'll never deny the Lord. He did, three times. And then God, or the Lord, wanted to know, do you love me, Peter? And he asked him that three times to prove him. No, trials don't always And hardships don't always mean God is chastening us. Not always. Sometimes. But not always. During such times, we should be seeking to learn and grow closer to the Lord. When life is hard and we're struggling, that should be cue for us to seek to get closer to the Lord. To get closer to the Lord. To realize I need the Lord. And how helpless I am. Do you realize how helpless you really are? Last year, when y'all seen the water rising up around your houses, some of y'all, did you see how helpless you were? And all those storms that's coming in tonight they're talking about, you see how helpless they are? Did you know the government can't help you when the storms is coming? You know, there was one time a few years back they were trying to seed hurricanes to see if they could, you know, calm them down or something. You know, they can't do that. Bible says God has His way in the storm. Remember, Jesus sought the will of His Father. Even Jesus, the Son of God, sought the will of His Father. If Jesus Christ needed to know the will of His Father, what about me? And what about you? We should seek the will of our Father as we live day by day as God's people. Fourthly, the wise often prove elusive, as to Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, Job's three friends. They were all so sure Job must have had some dirty secret sin he was hiding. They knew there had to be a reason why Job was suffering, and it was Job's fault. As I said earlier, not necessarily. Not necessarily. So they pounded poor Job to confess some secret sin. They just wouldn't hush. And I guess that hurt Job as much as anything when his friends were making accusations and judging him falsely. But his friends were mistaken, and God was going to deal later on very harshly with them. In fact, God was going to have Job to pray for him, amen, because they'd need him. Fifthly, trust in the face of anguish. In our troubles, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. The Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord knows what He's doing. We might not, but the Lord knows. And it just don't happen out of control. God is always in control of everything all the time. Isn't that a great thing to know? If something's happening to you, God's in control. God is allowing it. And we just got to trust the Lord. And I'm talking to the preacher too. Job was in despair. I mean, he had had a wonderful life. He was a rich man. He was a well-known, respected man in his community. And suddenly, overnight, his life was shattered. And he didn't understand. His whole life had been turned upside down. He had lost his wealth, his children, in a series of sudden calamities. Now his health was gone. And when you lose your health, boy, that is really getting bad. When you can't do the things you need to do sometimes. Got to hire somebody else to do something you've did all your life. Amen? That bugs me. Now his health was gone, and his wife suggested, well, curse God and die, Job. Boy, that was a remedy, wasn't it? Women don't tell your husband to curse God. Women don't even tell him to curse anybody. Amen? Encourage your husband. And husbands, let's try to encourage our wives. Amen? Honey, shape up, honey. Hey, we got to lean on one another. Amen? Got to lean on one another. And most importantly, we got to learn to lean on the Lord, folks. Learn to lean on the Lord. Job was deeply frustrated because he could not make sense out of his trials. I just don't know what's going on. He was trying to live right before God and everything was going wrong. Didn't Paul say that over in Romans chapter 7? When I would do good, evil is present. I'm trying to live right and everything's going wrong. Hey, God's in control. Just keep trusting the Lord. Just keep trusting the Lord. I said, just keep trusting the Lord. That's it. That's what Job really did. And that's what I want to emphasize. No matter how rough it got, you know what Job did? He just kept trusting the Lord. Because you know what? There's nothing else you can trust. Sometimes, folks, there's no place else to go but God. Amen. No place else to go but God. In his depth of his despair, he made one of the most profound declarations of faith that's in the Bible. And I love it. Oh, I've loved it for years. Many years ago when I was going to Westside Baptist Church in Red Springs, I was asked by the ladies' Bible class that they had there, would I teach them the book of Job? Gracious, I didn't know nothing. But they gave me this book on Job. So I read it. Then I tried to teach them in a brief study on Job. And the thing that I found was this verse. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. That's Job 13:15. Make sure your Bible underlines or marks that verse. Job 13:15. Though God slays me, I'm going to still trust him. Faith, folks, that's what we're supposed to do. No matter what God brings into my life, I've got to trust God. Because God knows best. And God's in control. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. God's in control all the time. And sometimes our troubles and trials brings great hardship, but we're called on to trust the Lord, because the Lord, listen, the Israelite people were standing at the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and his army was coming to get them and to kill them or enslave them again. And they were scared to death. And there was mountains on each side, on one side, and a desert on the other. And what were they going to do? There was a sea before them. They were in a bad way. No problem with God. God just opened up the sea and told them to go across. Amen? On dry land. God always has a way. And then when Pharaoh and his army come galloping after them, what happened? God just released the waves. No more Pharaoh and his army. And now they're finding his chariot wheels and horse bones where they crossed at. Yeah, in our lifetime, they're finding that stuff now where Pharaoh and them chased after the Israelites. They didn't make it, but Israel made it. Our God is able, folks, to make a way. In times of despair, God can make a way. How many times have we come in here and we have prayed, and then we heard about so-and-so, well, they're out of the hospital, and they're doing good now. God's still able. Amen. He's still God. He's going to always be God. Amen? Yes. Number six, God is going to ultimately one day reward good with evil. Good and evil. Life can often seem unfair. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Back in Psalm 73 again, verses 12 through 17 says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. And they do, folks. Ungodly people, they have the nicest houses. They have the biggest cars. They take the most expensive vacations and they just have it so well. Ungodly, prospering. But you know what? When they die, they're pitiful, ain't they? They're pitiful then. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. Job said, listen, I've tried to live right, and it looks like it's in vain. Or the psalmist said that, rather. And the ungodly are prospering. I don't understand it. We see the same thing today in the world. Same thing going on. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understand I therein. The psalmist said, when I went to church, then I began to understand what was going to happen to the unsaved. And folks, that's why it's important to be in church, because every Sunday there's something you need to hear. Every Sunday there's something you need to hear. And that's why God said, don't miss church. That's why he said that. There are those who make no effort to serving God. Isn't that pitiful? They don't even care about their own soul. Yet they seem to be doing well. And they are financially, maybe. There are others who are genuinely trying, but they're having many experiences of difficulties and setbacks. What we should keep in mind is that this life is temporary for all of us. We're only going to be here a short period of time. Even if we live to be 100, that's not much time compared to eternity. It's not even a drop in the bucket. God is sovereign, and he has the best plan for every life. Did you know God has the best plan for your life? And the best plan for your life is, first of all, to trust him as your Savior, and then say, Lord, put me where you want me. Do with me what you want. Just help me to understand. I want to please my God. Jesus said time and again in the scriptures, I came not to do my will. I came to do my Father's will. Folks, we need to remember that. And that should be our desire. Not my will, but thine be done. And it takes yielding. It takes growing. It takes understanding God's will is best. God's wanting the best for you and for me. there's coming a judgment day in which all the rights and the wrongs are going to be dealt with properly. The Bible talks about a judgment for the saved and judgment for the unsaved. The psalmist said it was when he went to worship God that he began to understand what was going on in his own life. And Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. No way to get around it. And I've said many times, on judgment day, you can't take a sick leave or a vacation or go on a cruise. No. On judgment day, you got to be there. Got to be there. 7, we understand when we learn what God is teaching. Many public schools in the United States promote and graduate students regardless of what they have actually learned. Isn't that something? They promote them up even though they didn't pass their grades. And some of them are promoted up in colleges because of sports. They're a good ball player of some nature. But God does not operate like this. He's the great teacher who is preparing us for a role in his kingdom, and he insists that we learn our lessons properly. We're getting prepared. Listen to me very carefully, everyone in this room today. God is preparing us, his people, for how we're going to be used in eternity. He's going to use us in eternity. But you're having an opportunity now to learn and grow for the place that God can use you at in eternity. Sometimes God has to give us a test over and over to get our attention. We keep failing it. We keep failing it. I know none of y'all too smart, but when I went to school, I had to take the test over sometime. And I remember one time we had a test, and I looked at all those. I'd never heard tell of all them questions. So I just wrote on, I don't know nothing. Turn it back in. Honestly. Guess what a grade I got off of that? Sometimes you got to learn to take it over. Amen. I couldn't do algebra to save my life, folks. I can eat chocolate pie now, but I couldn't understand that 3R pie or something like that, what that was. I even forgot that now. It was only when Job began coming to grips with the lessons that God wanted him to learn that he began to emerge from his great period and his great trial. I'm afraid some of us fail to learn as we should. And when we get to heaven, we won't have what we could have had forever. Because we didn't learn here. We didn't apply here. We were not faithful here. And it's going to be determined when we get to heaven how we get to serve God, on what level. This book tells all about it, folks. Got to be faithful. If you're not faithful, you cheat yourself. Cheating yourself. Many people are put aside and cannot be used here. And some are even removed early. Some of Christian people God takes them out of this world early because they won't listen. They won't listen. Job learned. He did not know as much as they thought he knew when God questioned him. After his testing, Job was double blessed by God. Double blessed. After Job's experience, he knew God like he had never known him before. After all that hardship, and my understanding is from the scholars that this lasted about a year in his life. About a year, all this testing went on in his life. But he never did get his 10 children back because they died. But he got 10 more. In James 1, 2, and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2, 13 says. God's at work in your life if you're a believer. God's at work. We used to have a song that was popular, a gospel song, some years back. God's still working on me. And he is. God's at work on us to help us to be the best we can be. But we have to respond by faith, by obedience. And like one of our favorite hymns, trust and obey. In closing, God is working his people to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's goal with all of us, to be like Jesus. You know, one day you're going to have a body just like Jesus. Won't that be amazing? Brother Searle, you going to like that body with no aches and pains, son? Amen? Never again. We must never forget we live in a world that's cursed by sin, folks. Sin everywhere. We must never forget we're living in the devil's territory. He's still, like in the days of Job, walking about this earth, seeing who can he devour. He's a-looking for, and he looks for Christian. He's already got the unsaved. So he's looking for Christians that he can wreck their lives. Cheat them out of God's best. He's the devil, folks. The promise is, however, to God's children, we are going to be delivered one day from this world of sin and sorrow and death. Won't that be a great day? Won't that be a great day? When we leave this sin-sick world behind. We got about 75 azaleas there in front of the house. 21 or 22 dogwood trees. Boy, in the last 2 weeks, they have been outdoing themselves. And I sit there in my recliner and look out at them, and I say to myself, boy, ain't that pretty. But you know what? In heaven, they'll be even more pretty. Amen? But and they won't fade then. Mine's starting to fade now and fall off. It hurts me to see my flowers going away. They're too pretty. I love flowers. My wife don't care about flowers. She'd rather have a squash. First time I ever went to see her, I didn't take no flowers. Another guy had took her flowers and she didn't like it, so I brought her a squash. Praise God. Amen. The promise is, however, God's children are going to be delivered one day. We're going to live in the presence of our loving God and Savior forever. Are you being faithful to God? If not, get on board. Get to being faithful. Get in love with Jesus. If you get to loving Jesus, you'll be faithful. That's it. If you love Jesus, you'll be faithful. Amen? Do you know the Lord? If not, today's the day of salvation. And that's the most important thing in life, is to get saved. Trust Christ. And then start growing in the Lord, loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Hey, I enjoy the Lord myself. I don't know. I can't speak for nobody else, but I enjoy the Lord. I'm having fun right now. Amen? Amen? Well, I'll close then because some of y'all not having too much fun. Loving God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the book of Job that teaches us, Lord, that you are in control of our lives all the time. And you allow into our life what is best for us to get our attention and to cause us to realize how much we need you. I pray for each person that's here today. Lord, you know the anxieties, the concerns, the needs, the situations. And we're all helpless to do anything about it. But, oh God, you are. You're the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one. And you can take care of it all. And we commit ourselves and to thee in the loving, saving name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen and amen. We invite you to the altar if you need to come to meet with the Lord this morning. It's always wise to come meet with the Lord at the altar. It's always wise to come bring your burdens to the Lord, your troubles to the Lord, your needs to the Lord. It's always good and wise to come praise the Lord, to thank the Lord, to love the Lord. Folks, it's always the best thing.